Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, and we are opening up to the book of Romans. Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we saw what the importance of understanding that our very minds are being transformed. And today Paul is going to continue to give us some very specific ideas of what it should look like as we are being made new in Christ. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 12. We'll be in verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. But Paul is still focused on our minds, our thoughts, our judgments, and what it looks like for our minds to be renewed. And he's talking to everyone here, not to a specific person, so keep that in mind. By grace, not by his own strength or power or whatever. By grace given to him, Paul shares this with the readers. This wasn't his own agenda or opinion. This is a warning, too. We need to understand our place, our position, our status before God with the right view. We need to not be elevating ourselves above that place, but using our minds. We need to not be invested so heavily in our feelings that we miss what our minds show us. We need to be using our minds when we read Scripture so we can discern His will. And we need to see ourselves as we truly are. We should be humbled by what we find when we compare ourselves to God. Understanding that Christians belong to each other in one body and have in common the same grace of God and faith helps to keep our egos in check. We don't think too much of ourselves or too little of ourselves when we understand that we are a body working together. Paul is urging the people here to be faithful stewards of the gifts and blessings that we have been given, just as Paul was given the grace from God to share the message of salvation to the Gentiles. Paul's emphasis here is not on making the individual searching for their spiritual gift and pinpointing it with 100% accuracy. His emphasis is on using the unique things that God has blessed you with, abilities, time, locations, finances, work situation, etc., and using them faithfully for his purposes. We need to understand that, in order for the body to operate correctly, there is a balance of healthy diversity among the members of the body. And our oneness in Christ extends further than just the people in the same building with you on a Sunday morning. We do have brothers and sisters all across the globe, and we need to respond accordingly, assisting those brothers and sisters, especially as we see the persecution that others face, assisting them in whatever way we can, especially with prayer. Also, don't get sidetracked in verse 3 where Paul says, according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. There are a couple of ways of seeing this, and none of those are degrading to individuals as a whole, nor do they show favoritism. We may see this as the common faith that we as a body have all been given to work together, or some have seen this as God providing for each of us according to our functions, the provision in terms of faith, strength, grace, etc., that we need to accomplish our roles in the body of Christ. It is all for the glory of God and for the building up of his body. This is one of two places in the Bible where we see lists of spiritual gifts. The other is in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14. But Paul isn't just listing gifts here. He's encouraging each member of the community to use their gifts faithfully to strengthen the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit sovereignly chooses which gift to give us, directs the way it is used, and the spiritual results, and all of this completely apart from individual boasting. If these gifts are used rightly, they will bring amazing benefits to the body of Christ. Prophecy is given in proportion to our faith. Now, prophecy meant speaking forth, not necessarily a prediction of the future or any other mystical or supernatural experiences. Those with the gift of prophecy should speak only when they are sure and confident that the Holy Spirit is truly revealing something to them. Prophecy was never about lifting up the person, but about the glory of our Father. And New Testament prophecy involved proclaiming to the community information that God had revealed to the prophet for the church's edification. However, the truth revealed by the prophet did not come with the same authority as the truth taught by the apostles. Prophetic speech of this nature was to be scrutinized by other prophets. These were not little bombs to be dropped and to be accepted as true simply on the say-so of the prophet. And prophecy, Paul warns here, should be assessed by the standard of Christian truth being measured against the faith we have in Christ, not personal opinion. Paul goes on at length about prophecy and the specific commands that he gives in 1 and 2 Corinthians, but he also says there that prophecy is one of those gifts that will cease. So keep that in mind as you consider prophecy. Service is one that we all have some part because we're all human and therefore we're all made to serve something or someone. Service had become the standard way to describe the work Christians do for God's glory and for the benefit of other Christians. Service is something we're all called to do, to serve each other, to follow the examples that are shown from Jesus himself, from Paul and the other apostles as well. The service that we do should not be done with an attitude of burden or martyrdom. We should be serving sacrificially and with the desire to serve, not because we're forced to serve. We're called to serve when we're able. Again, this doesn't mean that that woman who doesn't know how to cook should volunteer to cook meals to bring to sick people. That's not your gifting, even if serving is your calling. Know that and don't feel guilty about it. There are so many other ways to serve. I have at least one very dear friend who serves behind the scenes in various ministries in our church, doing what she's able to do. She doesn't do it to draw attention to herself. In fact, it actually took me a while to realize who was behind some of the things that she was doing. She does it because she can, and she can enable the body of Christ to do its job better by helping in that way. This particular friend is so generous with her time, too. She's always willing to let my boys hang out with her girls whenever I need to record for the radio or when I have a doctor's appointment. That's a hard thing for me, to be honest, because I struggle with my pride and with feeling like I'm burdening others with my offspring, but she never makes me feel like it's an inconvenience. And truly, I can tell you that without her assistance, I would never have been able to record these podcasts. She's awesome. But it's not about her, and she knows it too. But teaching is one that really not everyone can do this. Honest, teaching is the ability to interpret, clarify, and explain God's truth clearly. Pastors must have this gift, but many mature, qualified laymen also have this gift. Now, this differs from preaching, not in content, but in the unique skill for public proclamation. Simply put, teaching is the passing on of the truth of the gospel. We're to teach what is beneficial and what we are equipped to teach. So that woman who can't cook may find that within the body there's a woman who is always able to whip up meals for sick people. And they may form a mentorship. That amazing cook may be able to mentor that other woman to teach her to cook, thus sharing her gifting with the other woman. Not everyone who can do something well can teach it, though, and that's okay, too. There is truly an art to teaching, a way of being able to break things down so that the students can understand it, a way of seeing when your student is just not getting it and reformulating your plan to help them see it another way. Not everyone is able to do that, and that's okay, too. God has humbled me a lot over the years regarding my ability to teach. When I was 16 and was teaching swimming lessons, I would watch other people teach and think, well, why don't they just do it this way? I mean, why is this so hard for them to teach? I truly did not understand that my teaching ability was from God. And I thought that it was just common sense and anyone who could just do it. I get it now, 20 years later, and I see that truly their minds just don't break it down the way my mind automatically does. And that's not from me. That's from God. So I have no business looking down my nose at those who are not called to teach, any more than I have any business elevating myself because God has given me the gift of teaching. It is not about me. It is about Him. Exhortation is one, too, that we are all called to in some portion. Exhortation helps a believer to effectively call others to obey and follow God's truth. It may be used negatively to admonish someone in their sin, or to encourage and comfort and strengthen struggling believers. Exhortation is encouraging and lifting others up, pointing them toward God. This isn't telling someone they're amazing, but telling someone how the things they are doing or can do are working for His glory, always pointing the hearer back to God and His glory, reminding us that our goal is to be for Him, not for ourselves, and giving each other the needed nudge and encouragement to keep on going even when it's hard. Giving is the sacrificial sharing and giving of one's resources to meet the needs of others. This giving should be done without an ulterior motive or a desire for recompense, but straightforwardly, no strings attached. Now, that's not to say that, for example, one is not allowed to give money with an expressed intent. It's perfectly fine to give money that you have earmarked to be used to benefit the children's ministry or the outreach ministry or the missionary overseas or whatever, if you're convicted that your money could benefit those areas. But still, when you give, do it out of a desire to please God, not a desire to manipulate anyone else or to show how amazingly generous you are. The one who contributes, who gives with joy and generosity, not boasting or resentfully, should be the example we follow. Seriously, how many of us give grudgingly, forgetting that we are giving back to Him what was and is His anyway? We can be so miserly with what He has blessed us with. The one who leads is to do so not with the attitude of martyrdom, I'll do it because I have to, but I won't like it, but being called to it and showing that you are called to it. Our leaders, our elders, pastors, deacons, etc., should lead with eagerness, with a desire to steer the body to Christ, not to steer the body to their own desires. We've seen just in the past couple of months the disastrous effect of a pastor who leads only for his own agenda, and that, coupled with arrogance and greed, has been a recipe for disaster and the breaking apart of a huge network of churches. Our leaders have a great deal of temptations that they face, and they need our prayer as they navigate those minefields to bring their flocks toward the cross instead of toward themselves. Accepting that mantle of leadership with the gravity of the responsibility you are being called to, as well as the joy that the Lord has seen fit to give you this responsibility, is another part of being a leader. Every husband is a leader, ladies. Whether he leads or whether he abdicates his responsibility is another story. But every husband will one day be held accountable to God for how he managed the family that God gave him. So accept the responsibility God has given you for His glory and for your refining. Finally, mercy is a gift. I admit, I know there are times when this is not my gift at all. I can be very stubborn, very dismissive, and very irritated at what I perceive are weaknesses in others. Of course, point those same things out in me, and I'm going to plug my ears and ignore you. But mercy is truly a gift, and it is one that, if not given willingly, will result in it not being mercy, but being martyrdom. Consider the nurse who is good at her job, knows all the rules and regulations, can care for her patients with the best possible care, but doesn't have any mercy or compassion for her patients. Compare her with an average nurse who does have mercy and compassion for her patients, who cares for them with care, who is patient with them when they need patience, and who does so without the air of, hurry up, I'm important, and I need to be somewhere else. I tell you what, I'd rather have an average, compassionate nurse who's willing to help and willing to find answers to questions I have, even if she doesn't know them off the top of her head, than a nurse who knows everything but who I feel like I'm an inconvenience to. We live in a world where everyone gets a trophy. Really? We've become so obsessed with fairness and equality that we're setting our children up for failure. Seriously, those same kids who have grown up being told that they can do whatever they set their minds on, get into the real world, apply for a job, and find that the person hiring them isn't impressed by their own opinion of themselves, but wants to see proof that they can do the job they're applying for. When they don't get hired, these children, who are now adults, have no idea what happened. They have no idea how to deal with failure at all. We do our kids a world of disservice by telling them that they are the same as the next kid. They're not. God has given each of us unique talents and abilities. What I may be good at, you may not be. What you excel at, I may be really lousy at. And here's the thing. That's okay. In fact, it's better than okay. That's how we keep the body of Christ running. And that's how we keep the world running too. So my challenge for us today is really quite simple. Consider where God has gifted you. Are you using those gifts for His glory? Are you using those gifts with an attitude of martyrdom or with grace? If you don't know what your gifts are, there are myriad gifts assessments out there that you can check out. Or talk to those who know you best and ask them what they think your gifts are. See where God is leading you to help equip the body for the job it has ahead of it. And then do it. Step out on faith and try it and see where He is taking you.
Thank you, Beth. All of our Bible study notes again on our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what we just heard.